Welcome to I Did Not Sign Up For This, your bi-weekly dose of candid conversations from two queer couples. We're here to U-Haul our friendship and invite you along for the ride. I'm Sam, and I'm joined by my partner Amy, along with Lindsay and Carling. Say hey, gays!
Hey!
If you're loving what you hear and are craving more, hop over to our Patreon community. By joining us there, you'll unlock instant access to our entire back catalog, snag entries into exclusive giveaways, and discover so much more. Now on to this week's topic, messes. Whether it's the chaos in our homes or clutter abroad, we're diving into it all. So grab your favorite beverage, cozy up, and let's get messy. So today's episode was inspired by our son.
Oh, no. Captain Chaos.
Yeah. So like 3.5-year-old, one day I gave him a rainbow bath bomb. And it's one of those bath bombs that, you know, you're supposed to sit down and bath with like a glass of wine and it's a rainbow and you put it in the bath and it started as a cloud and you put it in the bath and then it's supposed to like move.
Oh, I've seen this on TikTok or something. Yeah.
And make a rainbow. Artie was having none of it. So he decided to take it after it had gotten wet and put it into a cup on the side of the bath with water in it. And so of course it just festered. Mm-hmm. It became this brown mass of foam. And then, intentionally or not, I don't know, I wasn't present for it. He hit it off the side of the bathtub and it went all the way across the floor, up the wall, and I'm pretty sure it's hit the ceiling. And to the point now where I cannot clean it all up. It's just impossible. You clean one small bit of it and then another one appears. And I think it will persist. It's just part of the house now.
Yeah, I've seen it in the register.
It's in the register. It's like, yeah, it's on the toilet roll. It's everywhere. So yeah, that's what we're talking about today. It's just like, just messes, not people who are messes, but
I mean, we've got a lot of those too.
Messes. Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to, yeah, I've got a couple of like historical messes,
ooh,
but I think between the four of us, having, you know, been working at zoos and being in the food industry and being parents, we'll have our fair share of mess stories. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll start by telling you guys about a couple interesting historical messes.
Tell me about it.
I will. So the first one was the, this isn't the first mess. I don't want to get into
the first mess in history.
Yeah, it was in Mesopotamia. just kidding. So the first one I'm going to tell you about is the Boston Molasses Flood. So on January 15th, 1919, a massive molasses holding tank in Boston's north.
Molasses in January.
Is that where the thing came from?
Amy's so excited.
Oh my God.
Okay, but stop. It gets so sad.
Oh no.
Okay. Tone down the laughter, guys. Okay.
I mean, okay, so it was in January 1919. Massive molasses holding tank in Boston's North End ripped open, letting loose 2.3 million gallons of molasses. A 26 million pound wave went down Commercial Street. As fast as 35 miles an hour. So it smashed houses and buildings, knocked a firehouse off its foundation, and in the end, it killed 21 people.
It killed people?
Yeah, and severely injured 150. They say by today's dollars, it was about $100 million in damage.
I guess like houses were collapsing and you were in it.
Yes, and the whole thing was sticky as molasses in January is because it was cold. It became heavy and immovable. It was like concrete.
Oh,
so if you were trapped in it, yeah. If
you're facing as slow as molasses in January, which
exactly,
is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I get when I get a bit of molasses on my fingers,
really,
like
yeah,
baking,
that's why
I hate it.
That's instinct,
yeah,
right there. You're like, no,
get it off, right into it. Yeah,
danger juice from your Boston relative.
Exactly, and I guess in reports as recently as like the 60s, they say you can still smell it in basements that were affected by it. Yeah,
looks like we got to go to Boston and start sniffing,
like
start licking walls
everywhere.
The schnozberries still taste like schnozberries,
and I don't like. How do you even begin
to clean that up?
To clean that up,
yeah. In January. It's like, do you get blow torches out and then melt it and scoop it into buckets?
No, it would burn because it's sugar. So you'd have to use water to dissolve it.
That sounds so difficult. And it's 1919. It's not just like they're out there.
Right over top of it.
Just put a whole bunch of Roombas out there.
Knock on some stranger's door. Ma'am, I'd like to smell your basement, please.
Yeah. And so they ended up doing investigation, and it was because the holding tank was like 50% too weak to hold that much molasses. Which brings us to our second. Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, I think it's interesting that us as Canadians that live in like far west-ish Canada, like, I know that saying. Like, it's crazy how a saying will get, like, spread throughout the world like that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it is necessarily...
the impetus for that?
Yeah. It would make sense.
Yeah.
We can look into it. There's some Googling to be done here. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say that leads us into our second mess, which was the Portugal wine spill, which happened last September. I don't know if you guys saw that. Oh, and she's bringing out the wine. Accurate. Don't spill it.
Unless it's directly into your mouth.
So in September of 2023, in the Portuguese town of La Vira, two vats holding about 2.2 million liters of wine flooded the streets because the vats burst. They say it lasted for an hour, but it didn't leave a strong smell behind because it was good quality wine, says the winery. Uh-huh. Yeah. And again, it was because there was a structural failure. The vats were just not made for it.
This was in 2023?
Yeah, September.
That reminds me of when you knocked over Portugal.
It was Portugal. Spain and Portugal. So Amy and I used to work at a liquor store. You don't quite think about how much wine weighs, right? When you go to a liquor store and you see like a whole shelf full of wine, it's so incredibly heavy. It's glass and liquid. One day, were we both working?
I was there.
Yeah, I was there too. I can never unsmell that smell.
It was a lot.
The entire section of Spain and Portugal came crashing down. And so just probably 100 bottles of wine.
At least.
At least 100 bottles of wine. Smashed. And so it's just Amy and I with a bucket and a mop mopping it up, like trying to make it work.
God.
And it just never smelled the same. Like the mop never smelled the same. Yeah. The floor never smelled. It just smelled like old, dirty mop wine.
Yeah.
We don't drink a lot of wine anymore. I think that
not
might have
red wine.
That might have something to do with it.
We drink white wine.
We do. Yeah. That was a bad one.
When we first moved into our house, it has very old carpet, and our joke was not even joke, our saying was that don't worry, like in 5 years, we're going to get new floors. And then the first family event that we held, everybody got drunk, and I think your mom spilt a glass of red wine.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was drunk, and I was like, don't even worry about it, guys. Just leave it. I was like, we're getting new floors in 5 years. Anyway, that was like 3 years ago, and I don't know that we're 2 years out. From a new floor.
Or not, unless we win the lottery.
And that stain. The stain is still there, but.
Sure is.
Under your carpets to see if there's anything interesting? Like hardware?
No. In the fireplace room, it's just concrete. But it's like, it's original carpet from the 80s, but the house was taken care of really well. Like it doesn't smell. It's not gross or weird. It's pretty clean. It vacuums really well, but it's like, was built really well. Like there's no corners coming up anywhere. It's for me to like pry and look.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, the only other like historical thing I have is a list of weird stuff that spilled on the highway.
So many things.
So many things, like sardines.
Ooh.
Just like a lot of 24 tons of sardines. A driver in Poland in 2012 forgot to close the rear door to his truck.
Ooh.
Yeah, 24 tons of sardines all over the road. Or Skittles.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a batch of red Skittles.
Oh, those are my favorite.
Just the red ones.
Just red ones. So what they said is that they were deemed to be cattle feed, which, what?
Who's feeding our cattle Skittles?
I know.
That red dye.
Wisconsin beef. Yeah.
The Wisconsins,
yeah. They weren't deemed good enough for human consumption, so they became cow food.
That shouldn't be how things work.
And it happened during a rainstorm. So it just
like
looked,
blood?
Yeah, looked horrific. And they become white, right? So you've got like all these little white dots in amongst the blood.
Yeah.
In Kentucky, there were hundreds of bottles of maple syrup spilt on the highway. And the article I read was so funny. They said, "We'll spare you the pain of punning about sticky situations, but we're absolutely forced to tell you that this crash took place on I-75 at Buttermilk Pike." That was where it
That is happened. Funny.
Yeah. The truck hit the pillars of an overpass, which split the trailer open.
I mean, not great.
And then apparently beer. Beer gets spilled all the time on the highway.
I believe that.
Which makes sense. Just like there was one that was 2,000 cases on the highway.
That's you saying that just reminded me of another spill. I want to write it down.
No, I think that's a broken one.
Okay, I'll just remember.
Well, you can tell us
about it now. Yeah, just tell us about it right now. This
is the time. Don't let it slip away.
So when Wyatt was about 18 months old, he was like old enough, maybe even a bit younger, maybe like 13 months old. He was like old enough, like too big for this silly baby carrier, too small to like bring a stroller into a restaurant. I don't know. We were at a Moxie's restaurant, which is like just your general, I don't know, family restaurant. And I had him in the high chair. It was like the four of us, my ex and then Olivia and I. The waitress, she was pregnant. So I just felt worse for her because she was pregnant. She brought Greg and I each a beer, and both pints of beer full to the brim tipped over and like waterfalled on to Wyatt.
Aww.
Like his entire, like it like caught the edge of the thing and just waterfalled onto him. And she just like welled up and started to like cry. And she was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And like, I don't care. Like, I don't care in the sense that like, he's not harmed, but like, also I wanted to take a picture, but also I wanted my meal comped. So
how upset do you act?
Yeah.
While appreciating the humor in it.
Anyways. Thank you for basting my baby.
I know. Yeah, he was basted in beer, but they comped our entire meal.
And nice. To this day, he asks for a wheat ale before every meal.
Before every meal. But I felt like I had to go change him. And then he wasn't wearing his coat when the beer incident happened. So like we spent the rest of the meal. He was just in a diaper and his coat.
Dylish.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
That happened to me as a server, not pregnant. At Boston Pizza, I was carrying a beer bottle on a tray and it tipped over and just like poured out onto a baby.
I just think pouring.
How many
on a baby.
Babies are getting basted? Yeah. So many. Going on.
If you were beard as a baby, drop us a line.
See, I remember going to a hockey game, which was a rare occurrence for us, an NHL game, because we didn't have very much money. And I was going up the stairs at the old Rexall Place or the Coliseum downtown. They were really big concrete stairs, and I had an orange soda and I tripped because the stairs were so big, and I poured it all over a man in his leather jacket, and I got in a lot of trouble.
Oh no, you didn't do it on purpose?
I was going up the stairs.
Better than going down the stairs. I have such a like fear.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was awful regardless because I got
it's so scary. When we went to that game a couple weeks ago, I just had this like, we went out and I just had a panic attack and I had just rolled my ankle, so I was I was really worried that I was going to make a misstep and then go all the way down and be on the ice by the end of it. And it was really
my brother once got green cotton candy in the lady's hair in front of us when we were kids at an event.
Did she know?
And
yeah. We were with my grandma.
Man, that's mortifying as a child.
Yeah, like I don't remember the incident itself. I just know that it happened. Like, I know I was there and I know there was drama. But my grandma would take my brother and I to the C&E every year in Toronto. So we were probably like 6 and 8. I don't know.
I get really secondhand embarrassed about messes in public, whether it has to do with me or not. Like this girl. I've been for 3 days now. I've been reminding myself to talk about bathroom beads. I was at work and I went to the bathroom, so I'm like in my own stall. All of a sudden I hear this little like, I don't know, click, and then ding 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 ding, and there was all these little beads
like a bracelet
going all over the floor, and I hear, oh no. And so I don't know who's there. Should I offer to some condolences? Like, I don't know what the protocol is.
Crawl around a public bathroom stall picking
no,
up beads.
And they were little tiny ones.
Oh,
and so like little plastic beads. So like I feel like maybe a kid made her like a bracelet or something and it broke. And then she left the bathroom. So I like stayed in the stall because I was so embarrassed. I didn't want to like make it worse by seeing this person. I don't know. I just like panicked. And
walk out of the bathroom stall and go, ha ha.
sucks. What an idiot. But then it kind of drew my attention to the fact that I don't think our bathrooms get cleaned very thoroughly by the cleaning company that comes, because for weeks later, I saw little tiny beads on the bathroom floor. And I just think, like,
secrets out.
Yeah.
That's
okay. So to be fair, to be the advocate for your cleaning company, a year or so ago, Frankie broke a egg shaker.
Mm-hmm.
What's an egg shaker?
Like a musical.
Oh,
like a shake. Yeah, that's the one. And
what's
inside of it.
Inside, well, let us tell you.
Teeny tiny metal beads. Oh. Like, so small you can barely pick them up with your fingers. Cleaning them up was the worst thing because they would just roll right through like a broom. Even when we mopped, they would roll.
Right? They just got pushed somewhere else.
They're so light. They just kept getting pushed. And so for months, it was before we had the robot vacuum. So before this was Rosie. Before Rosie. 2 years ago? Whatever. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Rosie does a great job. Good job, Rosie.
We love her.
Keep it up. Employee of the month. We were trudging around hand sweeping the house, and I would just hear one go. You can't see them.
Yeah.
They're microscopic, and you just hear this infuriating. Anyways, so I feel for the custodial staff, but one mess that always stuck with me, I was in junior high, and at this point I was getting home before my parents got home for work. And so I'd make myself a snack or whatever. I was enamored by Jell-O. Like, my parents would make Jell-O or whatever. And
like, weirdly, you guys love Jell-O.
But what I liked about Jell-O was like getting a taste of it before it went in the fridge. Like the juice, right? Like the liquid. And I liked how warm it was. It was so sweet. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make some Jell-O and I'm going to have some of the juice. Not drink the whole thing. I was gonna make Jell-O, and I was like, you know, I don't know why nobody's ever thought about this. I'm gonna mix it in the gravy mixer. So, you know, it's like a cup with like a spinny thing inside.
Yeah. And I've never had a gravy mixer.
I've never heard of a gravy mixer.
It's a cup with a spinny thing inside and a lid, and then a hole in the lid so that you can pour it out once you've mixed it. Like, so you put in your gravy mix.
If you're making gravy from scratch, it'll also separate the like fat from the bits,
right.
And then you can pour the, yeah.
Yeah, we always used it for like powder. Gravy mix. Yeah, powder, and it would churn it really fine.
It's like a hand blender.
Like a hand blender, but in the old times.
Old times.
Before electricity. This is before electricity, mm-hmm. folks. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I was like, why hasn't anybody thought of mixing Jell-O in this gravy mixer? So I take boiling hot water.
Oh, no.
And I pour it into the gravy mixer.
Was it plastic?
It was plastic. That was not the issue, though. The issue was the boiling hot water. And then I put the Jell-O mix in. And I put the airtight lid on it. I shook it once, and the thing went everywhere. And so I probably had an hour and a half before anybody got home, before they could see the evidence.
Yeah.
So I cleaned. I went crazy. I cleaned every surface. I thought I did it. I thought I got away scot-free. Then about 3 months later, my mom was painting the kitchen, and she pulled the plates off the light switches, and there was Jell-O juice dripping down single one. And she goes, Samantha, what happened here? And I just licked my finger, and I swiped it. That's Jell-O. No idea how that got there.
No idea.
No idea. Sorry. Have fun.
I went to cooking school, and you get to learn how to make soup, as you would. And one of the things you do is you blend soup to puree it in a blender. And like the day that we made butternut squash soup, the teacher was like, okay, make sure you like leave a space for air. And like, we're 19, 20-year-olds. We're idiots. Like, it was like butternut squash. Like, they were like geysers. They were like going off like crazy.
And that was just because it was like, it was
because
moving.
It's hot and the pressure, you put the lid on,
yeah.
And then you turn the blender on and it just shoots the lid off and bright orange soup goes everywhere.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's great.
I know you have.
So I have a problem, and I need help from our listeners, because I recently went out and I bought myself clothing from Value Village because I'm thrifty.
It's a thrift store, secondhand store.
Secondhand store. And every time I go out and I find a new shirt that I love, somehow within the next 24 hours, I will get oil on that shirt.
Oh.
Like cooking oil?
Cooking oil, yeah.
Cooking oil, or like when we were in band, you would get the
I'd get oil grease, like valve oil grease on it.
Huh. What are you calling it? Cow oil?
Valve oil.
Valve oil. Valve. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I said cow oil, and I was like, that's baby cows. That's even worse.
You're a monster.
Every tuba player is just jamming baby cows.
Moo. Yeah.
The price of art.
It helps to keep things moving.
No.
But like, how do you get oil out of a shirt? I get so, so mad.
Yeah, we want to hear your suggestions on how to get.
You work in the cooking industry, Lindsay.
Her solution.
Can you get oil out of an article of clothing?
Not really. It's really hard.
Her solution is to get a new uniform.
Yeah, exactly. I've got a bunch of like ruined chef jackets behind me in the closet here from like stains and oil. Like, yeah, it's a really hard. I don't know what the trick is. I think wash it before you wash it. Like, I don't know. Don't dry it.
Why do I think you got to put like salt on it?
I was thinking like baking soda. I don't know.
So I put baking soda on it immediately because that's what the internet said.
Yeah.
And then it said, let it sit for 24 hours and then you kind of dust it off and then use vinegar. Oh. And I did that and it did nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
I would just soak the whole shirt in oil and then it would all look the same.
Now you're thinking, it is a tie-dye shirt.
That is an idea.
Like, have you ever
on to something?
Like, have you ever washed and dried a lip chap and ruined a whole load of laundry? I have.
I have washed multiple lip chaps, but none
we've
of them.
Never ruined a like
because we wash in cold.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, if the lid comes off together. In the dryer,
shit
goes everywhere.
No, but I mean, speaking of messes, I won't get too into it because it's a bit graphic. But Poncho. Speaking of lip chap, our dog loves chapstick and any kind of petroleum-based products.
Yeah.
If she could have a birthday cake, it would be made out of Vaseline. And there was one point in time when she was just a wee little pup. This is before we knew that she loved petroleum jelly. And we had like the big tub of Vaseline for like our dry skin and our chapped lips. Poncho ate the entire thing. We're like, okay. Out you go, because this is bad news. It lubricates your insides just as well as the outsides.
Oh, no.
But then she would like, they were the runs, and she would be farting and pooping at the same time. But then the sound of her fart would scare her. So then she'd start running.
No.
We lived on a balcony, and that was an unpleasant time.
You lived on a balcony?
Just on the balcony itself.
Times were tough.
You could only get the balcony.
We were subletting a balcony.
You know, rent is sky high these days, so you gotta make it work. Yeah, that was not fun to clean up.
We have had many, many dog messes. Like, my German Shepherd ate refined sugar once and then barfed simple syrup. She ate a bag of dry rice and then shat shitty rice. All over the place. I don't know why.
Cooked?
Yeah, no, yeah. It was uncooked.
It cooked in her belly.
And then she
that's what I mean.
Somewhere, yeah. But my dog that is still alive, Nixon, she is going to be 16 this year. And she just won't stop being naughty. And she has eaten, well, she ate the arms off my couch when I first got her. But just since Carling and I have been together, she has eaten, like she's gotten somehow screwed the lid off of a giant dog food bin and then just like goes to town. And then her whole body is like a sausage and she's pooping and farting and burping and barfing.
Sounds like she's living the dream, man.
I mean, honestly, she doesn't give.
Like,
we spent like $600 getting her stomach pumped because she ate a bunch of pills that were for the other dog, allergy pills.
And they made these pills chicken flavored.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have eaten them.
Yeah. Like, they're basically treats.
I got a brand new bottle of allergy pills and I put them on the counter and it's the one counter that we know she can get on. But I was like, oh, they're pills. Like, this isn't some things you can leave on the
counter.
She'll
know.
And they used to be just like white powder packed pills.
Yeah.
They weren't chicken flavored until this time.
There was and we came home and it was all empty and we called the vet. And so the dosage is for our 80-pound dog. And I was
one
like,
a day.
One a day for our 80-pound dog, and our 40-pound dog ate 60. So they were like, you better bring her in right away.
We were like, oh. Okay.
She didn't even say, she walked out of that vet's office after having her stomach pumped. Yeah,
like she'd do it again.
Yeah, she was like, thanks, we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Next time, can you get them in beef?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's gotten into our friends give their dog these like nutritional supplements.
Joint supplements.
Joint supplements, suppies, and she ate a whole bottle of them. And we were like, and she was fine. And we were like, okay, we're good. And then like 48 hours later, she got the second bottle. And like, I don't even know how. She can't even jump into the back of a car anymore. And yet she gets these things.
Yeah.
Anyways, that one was explosive diarrhea. My all-time mess, which I will not tell the story at this moment because it's really graphic, is our dogs ate our hamster.
We have reason to believe, allegedly, a hamster got missing and the evidence left behind indicated that perhaps there was foul play.
Yeah, like the blood splatter was from the BB-8 robot to the craft bin and up the wall. And we never saw it again.
We weren't telling the story.
There it is.
That's Paul's notes.
Now we need a content. Now we need a content warning.
But the question is, did you investigate it like Sherlock Holmes?
Yes, 100%. Because here was my fear. My fear was that they killed the hamster but didn't eat it. And there was a dead hamster body. And that one of the dogs was going to, like, I don't know, keep it as a toy like dogs do. And that one of the kids was going to find it in their bed or something crazy.
Oh,
like, it was better. What happened was better. Hmm. Best case of the worst case. And my German Shepherd was walking around the house like, you had a hamster problem and I took care of it. And like, she had no shame. And I was like, okay.
You're welcome.
Last year, Poncho got into the Pride cookies. We made a whole bunch of, like, I made a whole bunch of rainbow cookies.
Would that be considered a hate crime?
And I was like, I thought she ate like 8 giant cookies.
Chocolate chip
cookies. Oh, I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's going to be so sick.
Multicolored cookie dough.
But so then for like the next week, we found little cookie pieces all over the house because she was hiding them and saving them for a special day. So we found one under Frankie's pillow, found some hiding behind, like some of them were just like right in the middle of the floor. And she's like, you don't see that.
Or the time she started hiding ant traps.
She hid some ant traps in the backyard.
I didn't realize that the ant traps I bought were peanut flavored. Duh.
That's weird.
So they use peanut butter.
Yeah, like their little cups that stick into the ground.
Yeah.
And so Poncho found them all. And we're like, we can't find them. They're gone.
They're gone. Like, what
did she just? And they're large, right? They're probably 1.5 inches in diameter. And then they have a long stick underneath them. And there's poison, right?
Yeah.
And
so that's not great.
So we're like, did she just swallow them all? There was 4 or something of them. Oh. And then we started finding them around the yard, buried in the mulch, under a toy, behind a door. Like, she just, like, poorly planned.
Right. Here's a fun game. I took the initiative and came up with some would you rather questions.
Oh, I like that.
Having to do with messes. Would you rather clean a very full sink filled with wet bread using just your bare hands,
Carling will not,
or a large surface area on a laminate flooring of mud and a lot of sand using only a slightly damp microfiber cloth?
Sink, 100%.
Sink as well.
Floor.
Yeah. She makes
sink
me
is
pick,
contained.
She makes me pick the food out of the drain.
I don't like wet food. Even if it was wet upon consumption.
It's okay.
Like a pasta. I would just sooner get rid of the sink.
Burn the house down.
Like, can you just, and I'm like, yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't love it.
The other one I heard of that.
Gross wet food out of the sink for you for the rest of our lives. I can put that in
the other one I heard of that one was a sink full of wet bread. Or you have to clean that same sink full of wet bread, but you get to use gloves. But the food gets inside the gloves.
I would just wear the gloves.
Yeah, I just wouldn't wear gloves.
Yeah.
I've worked in enough kitchens and cleaned out gunk out of enough sinks.
I'm the gunk getter in our house. I do the traps.
Mm.
I hand wash the dishes. Amy doesn't really care for hand washing dishes.
It's not my favorite.
So I do it in a really not earth-friendly way, and I just have to run the water. Like, I can't fill a sink with water, put dishes in it.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Sink soup.
We've struck something.
Yeah, we have. I'm also the trap emptier. If we the mice at the cottage, I don't even tell you. I just do it.
Do you also pull the hair out of the out of the drains?
Yeah.
Yeah. I showed that to Frankie the other day. I emptied the hair trap in one of the sinks the other day. I showed it to Frankie. She turned green.
We're shaving everyone's head in this house.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. If you can't empty these traps, we're going to shave your head. Okay. What's the other? Would you rather?
Would you rather you have to clean out a fridge full of expired food that's been sitting in there, let's say, for like a month? Okay. Or...
like the other one. I don't even care what the other one is. That's the one I'm going to do.
I don't know. Or the bottom of a food waste bin that's been out in the hot sun.
The fridge.
You know what, Amy? That's mean because you know about my PTSD from the other day. My eye right now. Can you see?
Why did you do this to her?
My eyeball's twitching. The other day, I took out the compost because I'm a responsible adult, and we had two compost bags, but I just keep them in the bin, and I flip the little bin over so it goes into the compost container outside. I'm just like, try not to gag. One of them was like too many days old, and we should have brought it out sooner, but we didn't. And I didn't know that the bottom of the outdoor compost container was liquid.
I think it's because the like lid is left flopped open when it snowed.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It wasn't dry. And I went and dumped it in and it splashed out and was mere millimeters from my mouth and got all over me. And I just
would you rather do? You didn't
You gotta answer the question.
I would what was the
clean out the fridge.
No, cleaning what was out the a second fridge. One?
Cleaning out
you have to clean out the bottom of the food waste bin that's been sitting out in the hot sun for a week.
I would do that one because...
Could you use a hose?
I could use a hose. I could use boiling water. I could throw soap and water in it.
You could just put the whole fire. Bin into the garbage bin.
I'd set it on fire. I think it's an ADHD thing, but if it's out of sight, out of mind, if there's a cucumber in the fridge, in the drawer... and I forgot when I bought it, even if it's probably fine, I have a hard time wrapping my head around not only should it be consumed, but how will we dispose of it?
You don't do the cucumber test? My cucumber, I take it and then I shake it. And if it wobbles too much back and forth, then I'm like, flaccid. Nope. If it's a flaccid cucumber, it's a no-go.
It's tried and true. It's patented.
Crunchy or bust.
Panning.
No, that is the wrong time to say that.
Potentially rotten food is a no for me.
It's a no for you, dog.
Okay, I have a last one. You have to clean your backyard that's full of poop right after the spring melt. You didn't pick up any poop over the winter.
This weekend.
And you only get to use just a rubber glove. Or you have to go outside and prep a garden plot in only wet socks and sandals.
Well, I don't garden. What does that entail?
Like walking through mud and such.
Oh, like not...
like I would do that because it's not poopy.
But then you're gonna have like wet socks.
Yeah, neither
and
of those.
Mud getting under those under the.
That's okay.
I would choose
there.
The garden one, even though this weekend is literally we're gonna be cleaning up. Poop I mean, we pick it up through the year, but. When it's a snowstorm, you can only do so much.
Yeah. I don't know. Neither of those really bother me.
Like one of the things that I hate is when I'm walking through like a playground in sandals and sand gets underneath my feet in sandals. And I hate that a lot.
That's sand or gravel?
Like public sand?
Either. Yeah. I don't like any of it.
What's the difference public between sand? Public sand?
What about that private sand?
Like if I'm at the cottage
location.
And I'm walking through our beach. That like my kids and dogs play in and the sand gets in my shoes, it does not bother me at all. But like if I'm at like a playground and it's like a public playground and I don't know, there's like needles in it or something.
It also depends on like the grit of the sand because sometimes it's really coarse and sometimes it's really fine.
Thinking about the grit. So this reminds me of a mess that I wanted to talk about. When we bought our house, we bought it in the middle of winter. And so we didn't get to see the lawn. We saw like a bit of what was going on. But when we toured the house. It was minus 40 out, which is the same in Celsius as it is in Fahrenheit. Real cold. So we didn't get to see a lot of it, but we saw pictures of the house before it got flipped. And then when spring came, this unholy mess just appeared on the lawn. It was
front and back.
Front and back. There was in the front, there was a lot of like construction debris. So like stuff from them refacing the house and just miscellaneous piles of stuff.
Plaster stuck in the grass.
Yeah. And in the backyard, I like to say that it's as if someone tried to clean up a spilled ashtray with a box of nails. Like they just, why didn't this work? And so for years in the spring, we would go through and like heavily rake the yard, and I would pull a magnet rake over the lawn. Because we'd be pulling up nails, screws, razor blades, bottle caps.
Like, did they re-roof the house and not have a garbage bin? They just threw it on the
ground in the yard? Well, shaving their legs?
That's pretty much it. Like, they just, there was work that was done, and there were people that lived here that did not care.
Yeah, we had to dig out the lilac tree.
Yeah, so the lilac tree in our backyard had never had the leaves pushed off of it, and so it had grown over. The leaves had turned to dirt. The dirt had turned to turf, like to grass. And underneath that was like landscaping rock and all kinds of stuff.
A wooden border.
Yeah, a wooden border and stuff. You couldn't see this before we dug it out.
We found a pool ball.
Yeah, pool balls, poker chips.
Yep.
Lots of beer caps. But
lots of decapitated things.
Yeah.
Stuffies.
There were lots of dog toys
that
were decapitated and buried. And so you'd find like a little piece of stuffing, right? And then you'd pull it, and then you'd find like an eyeball, and then you'd find like an arm.
Like a hard nose.
It took us probably 3 or 4 years to be confident where we'd have the kids out in the yard in sandal or in bare feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, even still, like the magpies, there's a power line that just like scoots across our yard. And I find that the magpies and the other corvids around like to drop shiny things into our yard, so we have to watch out every once in a while.
You also vacuumed the front lawn. I did. That's the first time I met our neighbors. I was on the front lawn with my shop vac, like vacuuming up dust. I think it was whatever powder they used to resurface the outside of the house. It was dusty still. And there was a giant pile of it. It was all over the lawn. And so I was out there vacuuming the lawn. And so these neighbors from across the way, who are lovely people, they come over and they go, "Hi," and they look up and I said, "This is not how I wanted to meet you," like on my knees shop backing the front lawn. What a weirdo.
Do you guys have a junk drawer?
We have a miscellaneous bin that sits on our counter.
Yeah, and it stresses me out.
Does it rotate?
Kind of. I used to have a junk drawer in my dresser, but then we moved in together and now we're sharing a dresser, so I can't give up a drawer for a junk drawer.
Sorry.
So now most of that junk has ended up in a nightstand drawer of mine.
Mm.
But we have like this, miscellaneous bin on just the corner. It's like where in the 80s and 90s in your kitchen you would have kept your phone.
Phone, yeah. Right.
It's like the phone jack is right there as well still. So yeah, the bin is there. And it's just a dumping ground for mail and lottery tickets and loose change.
Drawer is pretty organized.
For the most part.
Like there's a set amount of things that go into there, right? Like elastic bands,
yep.
Ties for plastic bags.
Yep.
Glasses cleaners.
Yep.
Small hand tools, keys.
There's that like back corner of miscellaneous broken things.
Yeah. That's where I keep the little parts that I find that eventually are going to find their home or not.
We have like a junk corner in our basement of things. We want to do built-ins, but.
Yeah, our house is large, but there's not a lot of built-in storage. We don't have like a linen closet. I think there's some things, some projects we can take on.
Yeah.
Need a new podcast for DIY.
One time when I was at work, I have two work disasters. The first one, they were both when I worked at the zoo. So I was like in my early 20s. And the first one, I used to be the person that would make all the food that would go over in. So the zoo has a catering department. You can get married at the zoo. And so one of my jobs was to prepare all the food in the morning that would go over to the cafeteria and get sold to like the patrons that would show up each day. So like sandwiches and fruit cups and all that kind of stuff. So I would make it all in the main kitchen and then put it on one of those big rack and rolls and push it over to the cafeteria. It's probably like 300 meters maybe or so Anyways, I was pushing it and I clipped the like back end of a golf cart and the whole thing tipped over. So all my day's work tipped and the food just went everywhere. Like it was wrapped up, but it didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had to like get a garbage bin and scoop it all in there. And then another time while I was at the zoo, I tipped a deep fryer over.
Oh. Were you okay?
It was cold.
Thank God.
But like, I'm curious to know. So it was two deep fryers, supposed to be two deep fryers on like pieces of metal underneath with wheels. So they're supposed to be like two of them side by side, but one of them had been removed.
So it was off balance.
So it had like one deep fryer and then two big pieces that were just empty. And I went to like move it to clean it and the whole thing just tipped over. And like there's nothing, like you just squeegee it and squeegee it and squeegee it.
People are still slipping on the floor 20 years later.
There's still stories
saying, damn it, Lindsay. It's very awkward.
Yeah.
I used to work at a dog care facility. And at the end of your 12-hour shift, you had to clean the room that you were in charge of. And so you had to vacuum it and then mop it and then empty the mop and mop it again, because you could have, you know, 60 dogs going inside and outside all day. My mop bucket was like so dirty and I hit a bump rolling it towards the like dump station and the whole mop bucket just like spilled everywhere.
Awful.
Yeah.
So I think one of our less I don't know. It's not a favorite moment of ours, not strictly because of the mess, but because we had thought when we were in Vegas that going to the Blue Man Group was going to be the epitome of our experience.
Yeah, we're like, Blue Man Group, gotta go. Yeah,
we went to the splash section.
Yeah. Have you guys ever been to a Blue Man Group show?
No.
Tell me, what do you imagine a Blue Man Group's show to be
and also, like, keep in mind, there are various shows, right? Like, they don't just do...
But, like, I just thought it was, like, the men dressed in blue with drums.
But I have heard that they put maybe paint or water or something on the drums.
Drums.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got seats in the splash zone.
Like, no.
So you're... No, yeah. Yeah, so we're prepared to, like, whatever's gonna be...
Paint, drums.
Yeah.
Right.
Men, women, all of them.
Blue men.
Blue men. Green men,
blue,
whatever.
Blue people group.
At the end of this particular show, well, like, first of all, they brought a woman up on stage, and this was pre-COVID.
Yep.
They brought a woman up on stage, and I don't recall it.
They're like gesturing because they don't talk. That's part of their shtick. They don't talk. They're like aliens. And so they gesture for her purse. And she's like, okay, and she hands them.
Like, was this a woman from the crowd?
Yeah, just like a random audience person. Okay. No. And they were doing this shtick with marshmallows. And so, like, he had caught, like, six marshmallows in his mouth. And he had them all in his cheeks. And then he spat it into her purse.
I would be
like. And then handed it back to her. Yeah, she looked mortified. Absolutely mortified.
And then he's like, go sit down.
Yeah. And Amy and I are like, oh, that's not funny. Like, I don't find that entertaining.
That's awful.
And then at the end of the show,
like, there was a lot less drumming and more just like random
mimery.
Yeah. Shtick.
Yeah.
Things like that happening.
And then at the end of the show, they turn on these air blowers that are above the stage and they have crepe paper rolls.
Like streamers.
Streamers. Mm-hmm. Like in front of them. And so just probably 200 rolls of streamers get doused on the audience.
Of like 50 people.
Not a full house. Just a mess.
And
like,
are you wet at
mess.
This point? Because that
no,
shit sticks
not really.
To everything. Okay.
Not really. We just felt bad. It's like so
like such
much
a waste.
Waste.
We're
of paper.
Sitting there and like, it wasn't like it was a grand finale. They just made it. It felt like they were
That's
making
weird.
A mess. Just to make a mess and see people's reactions.
Yeah. And our reaction was to start cleaning it up.
So yeah. Because I'm like, the poor cleaning crew.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I got stuck with the Blue Man Group.
There is a bar here. It's called the Back Alley. And it's, I think, reopened. But in the, like, 80s and 90s, it was the place to be. And I fucking loved it when I turned. So I was there in the early 2000s. I turned.
Is it a gay bar or just a bar?
Just a bar.
But it's like a punk
like
rock
80,
or grungy.
Yeah, it's like a rock and roll bar. I saw like Biff Naked there. That's like a very Canadian band woman. But anyways, she's amazing. Yeah, you saw people like that there. I saw the headstones were also Canadian people. I don't know who I'm talking about. Anyways, one of the things they would do, first of all, my friend Jamie and I went through this phase where we thought it was funny. We would get drunk and throw drinks on each other. I don't know. And like her boyfriend, who's now her husband, would pick her up and be like, "You guys stink like Bottle Depot." And we'd be like, "We know, it's so funny." One time she like so we dance on like, you danced on the speakers, but they weren't even really speakers. They were just like leveled boxes. And I'm taller than her, so I was on the one lower than her and she was on the one higher than me. And she grabbed the ass of my jeans and just shoved a beer bottle upside down in it. Like my pants were
No wonder you were so happy about Wyatt getting doused in beer. Exactly. You're like, my son, the second coming.
The thing that this bar would do at the end of every night at last call is they would release little square napkins from the ceiling, like confetti, everywhere.
That was probably how they cleaned up, because then they just had to
and like squeegee it all up. That's actually
all the vomit and beer.
Yeah. But yeah, it's now that you're talking about this crepe paper rolls, that's very wasteful.
Yeah.
Now so that I wasteful. Care about those things. Yeah.
We're so old now. It's so wasteful. I know.
Like, I can't even imagine trying to stay up till 2 a.m. at a bar.
Till closing. Yeah.
I know.
I saw, it might be in the States, that there is a, like, a bar for millennials where they have happy hour earlier. Ooh. And, like, they have early shows. They do, like.
I like that.
Yeah, basically home in bed by 9:30. Like, that's the idea.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
I saw,
but I do want to go. I want to go dancing.
I saw an Instagram. I saw an Instagram post from Jamie Lee Curtis who said, like, when are we going to normalize, like, concerts starting at 2 p.m.? I was like, yes.
Yeah. I can be drunk at 2 p.m.
Yeah. And still in bed by 10.
Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Sam, one of the things that I did is similar to your first story that you told. I flooded our kitchen once and had to clean it up before my mom got home.
Oh no.
I ended up telling her in the end. She like asked me to do the dishes while she was out for a walk, and I like turned the water on to start doing the dishes like by hand. The phone rang and I couldn't hear what the person was saying because the water was running. And so I left the kitchen to be able to hear the phone. And boy. I was like talking to them. It was my mom's friend from Ontario called, and I was talking to them. Everything was so great. And then all of a sudden I was like, came back in the kitchen. I was like,
sploosh.
Like, I gotta go.
Oh no.
Yeah.
This was clean water.
It was just clean soapy water. It was actually pretty perfect. So the kitchen was probably cleaner after.
Did you guys ever put the wrong soap in the dishwasher? Like you put.
No. I've heard
Yeah, if you put in like dish detergent for your sink into the dishwasher, it makes a giant mess. Same thing with washing machines.
Artie has a love of filling up buckets while he's in the bathtub and then pouring them onto the floor.
Yeah.
The bath mat.
Yeah. And then he's like, look, I made a puddle. And I'm like,
the poor floor.
You did, yes. And now it's going to take 9 days.
And every surface, every water.
He surface. Loves water play. So, like, even today, I picked him up from play school, and I told them this morning, his teachers, like, he loves water. He's like a magnet. And they're like, do you want him to stay out? I'm like, I'm just letting you know it's inevitable that he's going to be soaked.
Yeah.
So I pick him up, and sure enough, his boots are soaked. I'm like, yep, that tracks. So then I get home, and I throw his boot liners into the dryer because we still have to pick up Frankie later from school. And they weren't dry, but that's okay. We left. And then while... they were playing after we picked up Frankie. They found a stack of mud, I guess a patch of mud, I guess. And a stack. And his boot got stuck. So then he fell multiple times and then was walking around in one boot, one sock. I'm like, okay, we're going to go home. And he insisted on wearing a boot on top of that muddy, wet sock. Oh,
sounds like one of your would you rathers.
Yeah, I hate it.
It is.
And then as we're walking past, you know, on our way home, there's a spray park nearby and it has this giant puddle that's like above your ankle deep. And well, might as well rinse off those boots. Go for it, children. So they ran around in the puddle for quite some time.
Yeah, their stuff is at the front door right
it's
now.
It's soaked.
So wet.
It's soaked. There was a puddle on the floor
just from taking his boots off.
Oh my God.
We used to get soakers when I was a kid. We had like a creek right behind a pond next to my house. And then spring, we got told like not to play in it. And we'd be like, okay, we were not going to play in it. And then we would inevitably soak our feet constantly. And my mom would get so frustrated.
I mean, like, what child doesn't love running through a puddle?
Yeah, of course.
Like, you just have to prepare for it as a parent.
Yeah.
And when I was working at daycares, like, parents would get angry that their kids would come home like covered in mud or soaked. And it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Tell them not to go
steal their joy?
Yeah.
Well, like, part of the curriculum is to follow their interest, and they're supposed to bring a secondary pair of clothes for all of their kids, and regardless of age. The entire playground is a puddle. What do you expect them to do? Stand there and just like, yes, puddle, good day.
Mighty fine puddle today, Jonathan.
One of our little dogs that I share custody with my ex, Lola, she's a white Shih Tzu. She identifies as like a border collie pit bull, if you were to ask her, but she looks like a Shih Tzu. Her favorite thing is like
she's
in this...
assigned Shih Tzu at birth.
Yeah, she was assigned Shih Tzu at birth, but does identify as a pit bull border collie. And she's ball obsessed. She's like, she's so perfect. And her favorite thing in the world is coming across a mud puddle, like one of those like really dirty, thick mud. And she like, she'll bring her ball over to it. She gets all worked up and she's out of breath. And then she walks up to it and she like lowers herself in it and then drags her belly through it. So her little back feet are out behind her. And she just drags herself through it. And then she's just caked in this thick, thick mud.
Like if you've ever seen a video of like a golden retriever or a lab rolling around in a mud puddle, but
like little white Shih Tzu Lola.
That's so
like, it probably feels so good on her little
I'm not stealing that joy from her is what I'm saying. Yeah. Or like if we're out on a walk on a hot day and there's a like a mucky puddle, she'll just drag her belly through it. And I'm like, girl, get it. Like that looks refreshing and I would do it too. And then she's mad because then she needs a bath later and that's below.
That's rude. So. Choices. You've made this choice. Consequences from your actions. Yeah. Reaping what you sow.
And she's grunts and growls the whole time I'm bathing her. But
we live such messy lives. I know I've got like some stories about diaper blowouts, but we've lived.
Yeah, it's not, we don't need
to. I have potty trained twins and learned a lot of lessons in doing that.
Yeah, like kids we don't are need gross. To go there.
They are.
But I will say, I like that Lindsay had to message and ask for clarification because she was like, so we're talking about messes. Are we talking like personal, relationships, financial?
Like what kind of messes?
Because I've got them all.
I have my life's been in so many different messes.
So maybe I mean, that's a series.
Exactly. Messes number one, real messes. Messes number two, Lindsay's exes.
Yeah, who's allowed to play instruments at our wedding and who's not?
Yeah. Join us over on Patreon where we go deep dive one deep by one Lindsay's exes.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Well, yeah, thanks for sharing your stories, guys. Do you, does anybody have any other extra stories?
Nope.
I had one more interesting story that... It's food related. This is from when I was a kid.
Like, is this going to beat the molasses story? Because I'm still blown away.
No, it's not. It's not going to. It's a personal story from when I was a kid. Okay. We got Swiss Chalet, which I think it's a Canadian thing.
I love it so much.
Rotisserie chicken.
It's Canadian. You mean it's not from the Swiss Alps?
It's not from Switzerland.
They import the chickens.
Did I just blow your mind? Yeah. So they do rotisserie chicken, and it's kind of like Kenny Rogers Roasters, I think, is a United States.
Oh, anyways. Rogers a singer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a country
and
singer.
And a roaster.
There's a Jimmy Buffett margarita house, so like...
Get with it.
Margaritaville.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Margarita that makes house. Sense.
It's called Margaritaville.
Take me down to Margarita House.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett classic. Anyways, so we were unpacking this chicken, and my mom was carving off like a leg or something, and it came with cans of Coke. And so we had just brought it in the house, so the cans were probably like a little shaken, right? They're like jazzed, energized cans of Coke.
Jostled.
And she was using like a knife with a pointy end, and she just poked a can of Coke right in the center, right in the belly button of the can of Coke, and the thing exploded.
Oh, like you couldn't grab it and shotgun it?
Oh, no.
That's Lindsay's first instinct.
Good instinct. Good instinct. Yeah, thanks. No, as a, 8-year-old, my first thought wasn't to shotgun it.
About shotgunning.
Not yet. A few more years. Shotgunning was the best of them. Yeah, so the thing, the can actually opened. Like, the pressure differential opened the can wide open. It ripped it open, and Coke went everywhere. So, in conjunction with the Jell-O dripping down the walls, there was also Coke dripping down the walls of this kitchen.
No.
Perpetual mess. We had to repaint the ceiling because the ceiling turned brown from there was splatter. Yeah, it was wild. All right. Well, I suppose I will wrap the episode with our outro. Our official outro.
Our very professional outro.
Yeah.
Professional.
Thanks for sharing your stories, guys. This was fun. I figured that we'd have
enough to talk about.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need to prep a lot. We'll just see.
Yeah.
Name a mess.
I did really like your historical messes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed diving into this episode with us. Do you want access to exclusive content and giveaways while supporting the work we do? Join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/IDidNotSignUpForThis. If you like what you heard, don't forget to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And hey, if you're feeling generous, leave us a review. It really helps us grow and improve. We love hearing from you, so connect with us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Share your thoughts, suggestions, or just say hey. We always appreciate it. Thank you for spending this time with us. We appreciate your support. And until next time, have a fantastic week. Bye!
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a Lesbian Recap.